الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. Continue reading the points that the author she had mentioned حفظها الله تعالى with regards to تربية الأولاد, with regards to raising and cultivating and teaching the children. And we have come to point number 21. And she mentions حفظها الله تعالى احرسي أن يجالس ولدك الصالحين, that you must be diligent, O my sister, that your child will sit in the company of the righteous. فهذه الأم الصالحة, فهذه الأم الصالحة أم سليم أتت بولدها أنس رضي الله عنهما إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقالت أنس خادمك يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال اللهم أكثر ماله وولده وبارك له فيه. So she mentions here on the 21st point that in her advice for her sisters, she's saying, oh my sister, you should be diligent and work hard to make sure that your child sits in the company of the righteous. That your child sits in the company and associates with the righteous. And she mentions examples now with regards to this from the lives of the companions, radiallahu anhum. And she says, here we have this righteous mother, Sulaim. Meaning here we have an example, clearly for you, my noble sister, of a righteous mother. And this righteous mother, hear her, kunyas Sulaim, the mother of Anas, radiallahu anhum. She had brought her child. She had brought her child Anas to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And she said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, here is Anas, he's going to be your servant. Here is Anas, yani my son, he's going to be your servant, yani to assist you and to aid you and to be in your company and to take care of your needs. And it's known that Sulaim radiallahu anha, she brought Anas radiallahu anhu whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam first came to Medina. And Anas was a young boy. And Anas radiallahu anhu was a young boy, and she mentioned this affair, that she wanted her son to be in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and to serve him and have the honor of serving him and benefiting and learning from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam directly. So at this, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he accepted this affair and likewise supplicated for Anas radiallahu anhu, and he says, Allahumma akfir malahu wa waladahu وَبَارِكْ لَهُ فِيهِ. O Allah, O Allah, increase his wealth, make his wealth, grant him an abundance of wealth and children. Grant him an abundance of wealth and children, and bless him likewise in this affair, and bless for him in his wealth and in his children. And this was from the supplication of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam for Anas, and likewise this is from the virtue of having righteous companions. This is from the virtue of being in the company of the righteous. They will supplicate for you. Those who are in the company of the righteous, then indeed those righteous believers, they supplicate one for the other. And they remember their brother or their sister for the sake of Allah, and they will call on Allah on their behalf, begging for them, begging Allah Azza wa Jal for them to have the good of this life and likewise the hereafter, and to be safe from all evils and harms and dangers. So this is no doubt an indication of the great virtue of having noble companions and being in the company of the righteous. And this is an example of that. And it's been mentioned about Anas radiallahu anhu, he's from the last of the companions to die. And he lived for a very long time, radiallahu anhu. And likewise, it was mentioned about him that he had many children and he was very wealthy. And that this supplication, he benefited from that greatly in his life, radiallahu anhu. So now there's another example the author she mentions. حفظها الله تعالى وأم حذيفة سألت ولدها حذيفة بن يمان رضي الله عنهما فقالت له متى عهدك تعني بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. So she's saying now another example is the mother of Hudhayfa. The mother of Hudhayfa, she asked her son Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman radiyallahu anhu, and she said to him, "Mata ahduka?" And when is the last time that you had been in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Ta'ni bin Nabi. meaning she means with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When was the last time you had checked on and were in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? فَقُلْتُ مَا لِي بِهِ عَهْدٌ مُنْذُ كَذَا وَكَذَا. So he told his mother, he says that I said that I have not seen him or had any dealings with him since such and such. And he says so and so time, meaning for a moment. He says, radiallahu anhu, فَنَالَتْ مِنِّي فَقُلْتُ لَهَا دَعِينِي آتِ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَأُصَلِّي مَعَهُ الْمَغْرِبِ فَأُصَلِّي مَعَهُ الْمَغْرِبَ وَأَسْأَلَهُ أَنْ يَسْتَغْفِرَ لِي وَلَكِ. He says, at this time, whenever he informed his mother that he has not been in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for some time, she reprimanded him, and he said, then let me go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and I'll pray along with him the prayer of al-Maghrib, and I'll ask him to forgive me and to forgive you. And another indication as well that this is from the benefit of having the noble and righteous companions, that they will make dua for a person, that they will ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to forgive their companions and their friends and their loved ones. This is a great benefit, that someone will make dua on behalf of you, any some righteous and noble companion. So he says, فَأَتَيْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَصَلَّيْتُ مَعَهُ الْمَغْرِبِ. He says, so I came to the Prophet صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ and I prayed along with him الْمَغْرِبِ فَصَلَّ حَتَّى صَلَّ الْعِشَى. So I came to the Prophet صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ and I prayed with him the Maghrib, and then he continued to pray until Al-Isha, meaning that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after that he prayed the non-obligatory prayer in between the two prayers, and he continued until he prayed the Isha prayer sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hudhayfa, he says, radiallahu anhu, thumma fatala fatabi'tuhu fasamiya sawti. He said, and then he finished, meaning he finished from the Isha prayer, and he is leaving now. So I followed him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he heard my sound, and meaning he heard the sound of my feet walking behind him. So he said, فَقَالَ مَنْ هَذَا حُذَيْفَ. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, who is that? حُذَيْفَ, is that حُذَيْفَ? He says, قُلْتُ نَعَمْ, I said, yes. قَالَ مَا حَاجَتُكَ غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ وَلِأُمِّكَ. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, what is your need? What is it that you need? May Allah forgive you and forgive your mother. May Allah forgive you and forgive your mother. SubhanAllah, he's coming with the intention to request this, and this is how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded to him before he even got an opportunity. Before he even got an opportunity to request this affair, he had already obtained that. And this is also from the virtue of having noble and good companions. And an example of that, even before a person will ask for good from his companion that is upright, they will precede that, and they will do that without even having to be asked. Many times this is the case with the noble and good companions. And even if they did not give a person a benefit, either in their religious affair or in their worldly affair, for free without asking, then definitely whenever you ask them, indeed many times the upright and noble companions, they will help a person and benefit them. So he says, قَالَ إِنَّ هَذَا مَلَكٌ لَمْ يَنْزِلِ الْأَرْضَ قَطْ قَبْلَ هَذِهِ اللَّيْلَةِ. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, indeed this was an angel. And some of the wordings of this narration, Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, he mentioned that whenever he seen the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam leaving, someone stopped him and spoke to him. And then it was after that Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, he spoke. So now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that this was an angel that has never descended to the earth before this night. استأذن ربه أن يسلم علي. And this particular angel has sought permission from his Lord to descend and give me the salam. ويبشرني بأن فاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة. And to grant me the glad tidings that Fatima is the leader of the women of the people of Jannah. Is the leader of the women of the people of Jannah. Actually, this narration, it continues. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَأَنَّ الْحَسَنَ وَالْحُسَيْنَ سَيِّدَا شَبَابِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. And likewise, to inform me and give me the glad tidings that Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn, they are the leaders of the youth of the people of Al-Jannah. She says, أَخْرَجُهُ التِّرْمِذِي وَذَكَرُهُ الْوَارِدُ فِي الصَّحِيحِ الْمُسْنَدِ. And this narration has been connected by At-Tirmidhi, and likewise it has been mentioned by the father, meaning by her father, and his work As-Sahih Al-Musnad, and in reference to the fact that her father has declared this narration to be authentic, rahimahullahu ta'ala. So these are examples of the benefits of having good and noble companions, and likewise the examples of those righteous and noble mothers seeking for their child to have good and noble companions. She says, وَعَلَى الْأَبَوَيْنِ أَنْ يَبْذُلَا جُهْدَهُمَا فِي تَرْبِيَةِ أَوْلَادِهِمَا وَالْهِدَايَةُ بِيَدِ اللَّهِ وَالْهِدَايَةُ بِيَدِ اللَّهِ. We're coming to a closing in this particular chapter. It's coming to an end, inshallah, soon. This is for the last point, and after that there are brief benefits that she is mentioning here in closing the chapter with regards to the issue of cultivating and raising the children. But now she's mentioning a very important point coming to closing soon. She says, وَعَلَى الْأَبَوَيْنِ وَعَلَى الْأَبَوَيْنِ وَيَجِبُ وَعَلَى الْأَبَوَيْنِ. It's an obligation upon the parents, the mother and the father. أَنْ يَبْذُلَا جُهْدَهُمَا فِي تَرْبِيَةِ أَوْلَادِهِمَا. That it's an obligation upon the two parents that they strive hard and that they exert great effort together in raising their children. That they must work together and exert great effort in raising their children. It's incumbent upon the parents to make effort to raise their children. Here in our days, Allahu Musta'an, many times we find that the parents are not raising their children. The parents are leaving their children to be raised by others. And many times we find that the children are being left in the hands of the disbelievers and the enemies of Allah and those who belie the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they deny the Quran, and they do not follow the halal and the haram of Allah azza wa jal. They leave them in the hands of these people to raise them and to educate them and to teach them and discipline them. What do you have to be learned? The discipline of the kafara, the kadhaba. What do you have to be learned? The liars and the disbelievers. The liars and the disbelievers. This is not proper. Other times they'll be left likewise in front of the TV or in front of the device to be raised by the YouTube or to be raised by the ideas and that which is found in these different channels and different web pages and websites, waliyadu billah. But she's mentioning a great obligation here upon the parents, upon the parents. وَعَلَى الْوَالِدَيْنِ وَعَلَى الْأَبَوَيْنِ وَعَلَى الْأَبَوَيْنِ أَنْ يَبْذُلَا جُهْدَهُمَا فِي تَرْبِيَةِ أَوْلَادِهِمَا. It's an obligation upon the parents that they exert the utmost effort together in raising their children. In raising their children, the Islamic raising. In bringing them upon al-aqidah al-islamiyah al-sahihah, aqidah al-tawheed, al-aqidah al-salafiyah. To bringing them up upon complying to the commandments of Allah and abiding by that and avoiding the prohibitions and the staying away from them entirely. As we have seen, this is what she's referring to. The parents, they must strive to raise their children upon al-Islam properly, upon the deen property, upon the obedience of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in public and in private. This is the obligation upon the mother and the father. But she mentions an important point, likewise, what hidayah tu biyadillah, and the guidance is in the hands of Allah. So we have two issues here. One of them is the right of the child and the obligation that is upon the parents, and that is that they work hard and they are diligent and they are not negligent whatsoever in the right of their child and making every effort that they can to keep the child safe in its creed and deen first and foremost, in its belief, in its heart, in its soul, and by educating it and teaching it and raising it upon the deen of Islam, upon clarity, upon insight. Until the child knows who its Lord is and has no doubt about that, and knows who its prophet is and has no doubt about that, and knows the correct deen and identifies with that clearly and loves the way of Islam and prefers that. This is the right of the child, that the parents, they will work hard to raise the children upon this manner. To raise the children upon this manner. And this requires for them to be diligent to keep their hearts safe and to preserve that fitrah. All of this has preceded barakallahu fikum. Barakallahu fikum, but now to emphasize this affair, because to talk about it and to remind and to have an admonition is one thing, but it will not benefit us until we take it seriously and we work to implement that. And we work to change that which we have corrupted or that which we have not performed properly. These are rights that we will be asked about. Parents, they will be asked about these affairs. They will be asked about these affairs, just as the child will be asked about the rights of the parent. The parent will be asked about the rights of the child. The parent will be asked about the rights of the child. So the parent has to make the greatest effort and not be negligent with regards to that. And then in the end, وَالْهِدَايَةُ to بِيَدِ اللَّهِ. And then in the end, the guidance is in the hands of Allah. She says, فَالْإِنسَانُ لَا يَسْتَطِيعُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَ نَفْسَهُ فَضْلًا عَنْ أَنْ يَهْدِيَ غَيْرَهُ. So a person is not able to guide his own self, much less to guide somebody else. Meaning guidance is in the hands of Allah. No one is guided except by the permission and the grace and the mercy of Allah. مَنْ يَهْدِي اللَّهُ فَهُوَ الْمُحْتَدِ. That whomsoever Allah guides, then he is the one who is guided. Then he is the one who was guided. وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُ وَلِيًّا مُرْشِدًا. And whomever Allah misleads or does not guide, then you will find no one to guide him. There's absolutely no one who can guide him. So this is the case. The guidance is in the hands of Allah. The guidance is in the hands of Allah. Now she mentions examples. وَهَذَا نُوحٌ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ نَبِيٌّ مِنْ أَنْبِيَاءِ اللَّهِ. And there was Nuh عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ. And he is a prophet from the prophets of Allah. لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ أَنْ يَهْدِيَ وَلَدَهُ. He was not able to guide his child. And the guidance in the heart. And what is being referred to here, not able to guide the child, or that the guidance is in the hands of Allah. This is the guidance of the heart. That the heart will be guided to believe the proper belief and likewise be guided to submit to that and comply and implement that in one's life and to act upon that. And to act upon that belief and that knowledge. This is in the hands of Allah. As for the guidance that is in the hands of the prophets and messengers and likewise the people of knowledge, after that, the guidance of calling and the guidance of directing and giving advice and ordering the good and prohibiting the evil, this is in the hands of the people. But the fact that the heart will accept that or a person will believe in that and follow that, then this is in the hands of Allah. So although Nuh alayhi salam, he was a prophet and he had great knowledge and great wisdom and a revelation from Allah Azza wa Jalla in great status and rank with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لم يستطيع أن يهديه ولده. He was not able to guide his son. يُلِحُ عَلَى وَلَدِهِ أَنْ يَكُونَ مَعُهُمْ وَلَا يَكُنْ مَعَ الْكَافِرِينَ. That he would persist time after time, that his son, that his child will be along with them, meaning along with the believers, and that he will not be along with those who disbelieve. كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى. Just as Allah has mentioned, the Most High, وَنَادَى نُوحٌ إِبْنَهُ وَكَانَ فِي مَعْزَلٍ يَا بُنَيَّ إِرْكَبْ مَعَنَا وَلَا تَكُنْ مَعَ الْكَافِرِينَ. That he would call Nuh alayhi salam, he called his son. And whenever his son was off in a distance, oh my beloved son, ride, board the ship along with us, and do not be with those who disbelieve. And he calling him to believe in the message and to follow the command of Nuh alayhi salam and to board the ship with those who boarded from those who believed, and do not be with those who disbelieve. She says, فَأَجَابَ الْوَلِدِ. And the child responded, قَالَ سَآوِي إِلَى جَبَلٍ يَعْسِمُنِي مِنَ الْمَاءِ. He said, I'm going to go seek refuge on a mountain that will protect me from the water. قَالَ لَا عَاسِمَ الْيَوْمَ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمٍ. And he said to him, عليه الصلاة والسلام, there is no protection today from the command of Allah except for those whom Allah shows mercy to. وَحَادَ بَيْنَهُمَ الْمَوْجُ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُغْرَقِينَ. And then the waves came between the two of them, and he was from those who were drowned. And he was from those who were drowned, meaning that the son of Nuh, he was drowned, and he did not benefit from his relationship with his father in this manner. The point now is to see that no doubt Nuh alayhi salam, he called him. He called his son and he made every effort to call his son and to direct his son and to advise his son. But in the end, the guidance is in the hands of Allah. The guidance is in the hands of Allah. She says, وَهَذَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ يَعِظُ وَالِدَهُ أَنْ يَتْرُكَ الشِّرْكِ. And likewise, the example here of Ibrahim alayhi salam, that he would admonish and advise his father to leave off paganism and polytheism, to leave off a shirk. فِي غَيْرِ مَا سُورَةٍ وَلَمْ يُذْعِنْ لِنَصَائِحِ وَالِدِهِ وَلَمْ يُذْعِنْ لِنَصَائِحِ وَالِدِهِ بَلْ قَالَ لَإِنْ لَمْ تَنْتَهِ لَأَرْجُمَنَّكَ وَهْجُرْنِي مَلِيَّ وَهْجُرْنِي مَلِيَّ. So she says that this has been mentioned in more than one chapter. And his father did not accept that. His father did not accept those advices, the advices of his son. Rather, he said, لَإِلَّمْ تَنْتَهِي لَأَرْجُمَنَّكَ وَهْجُرْنِي مَلِيَّ. He said, if you do not desist, if you do not stop calling me to this affair, to leave off these issues, then I'm going to stone you. Then I'm going to stone you, and that you should leave me alone and turn away from me. That his father did not agree with him and did not accept the advice of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, wa huwa khalilur rahman, and he is the khalil of ar-rahman alayhi salatu wasalam. She says, now وهذا نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم يلح على عمه أبي طالب أن يسلم. And here we have likewise our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam persistently calling his uncle Abu Talib over and over to accept that Islam. فَأَبَى وَمَاتَ عَلَى الشِّرْكِ. And he refused. Abu Talib refused to accept the advice and the call of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he died upon paganism and polytheism. He died upon shirk. She says, "Well, غير ذلك كثير." And likewise, there are other than this, funny, many other examples likewise. And other than this, in abundance, there are many other examples likewise. She says, "وحصل هذا لكثير من السلف." And this is something that has occurred to a number of the salaf. She's making these examples now to see, and there's a benefit in this. The point is now that the parents must realize the obligation that's upon them and the responsibility that's upon them, and that they fulfill that right, and that they do not neglect that, and that they will be held accountable with regards to that, and it's a trust and an amana that they will be held accountable for in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of resurrection. As for the guidance of the heart, that's in the hands of Allah. So even there are examples in the lives of the prophets, even our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and likewise the righteous after that they gave every effort that they could. They fulfilled that amana, and they fulfilled that trust, and it was from the wisdom and the decree of Allah that those whom they called from their family did not accept the call. So therefore, a believer, he will take consolation in this, and he will see that if this is the case with Nuh alayhi salam, his son was not guided, then if one finds that his son is not guided likewise, then he would take consolation in that. Or if his family members were not guided and they see the likes of Ibrahim and the likes of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, then he'll be consoled in this, and he will find ease in this affair and realizing that they are much greater than us, and this was the case with them likewise. That some of their family members were not guided by the decree of Allah. So if that happens with regards to one of us, then we will be able to accept that and realize that this is from the command and the decree of Allah. From the command and the decree of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And there's examples in the lives and the biographies of a number of the righteous and the pious predecessors that this was the case. They themselves were righteous, and they made effort for their children to be guided, but it was the decree of Allah that some of their family members did not accept the guidance. So in this case, a believer, he would accept the command of Allah and the decree of Allah, but likewise would accept the legislation of Allah and fulfill the rights that are upon him, and then entrust the guidance of the hearts to Allah Azza wa Jal. So she says, وَحَصَلَ هَذَا لِكَثِيرٍ مِنَ السَّلِفِ. This has happened a lot amongst the Salaf, amongst the pious predecessors. فَشُعْبَةُ بْنُ الْحَجَّاجِ يَقُولُ. So she mentions now Shu'bah ibn al-Hajjaj, from the greatest of the narrators of Hadith. He died in the year 160. Rahimahullah ta'ala, from the great scholars of Hadith and the defenders of the Sunnah and the proper creed and methodology. Shu'bah ibn al-Hajjaj, Rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, يَقُولُ. He says, وُلِدَ لِي وَلَدٌ فَسَمَّيْتُهُ سَعْدًا. He says that I had a son and I named him Sa'd. Sa'd, it really means to be happy. It means to be happy and good and successful. He says, فَمَا سَعِدَ وَمَا نَجَحْ. وُلِدَ لِي وَلَدٌ فَسَمَّيْتُهُ سَعْدًا فَمَا سَعِدَ وَلَا نَجَحَ. He says that I had a child that was born, so therefore I named him Sa'd, yani the one who will be happy and successful. And he was not happy, nor was he successful. وَكَانَ يَقُولُ فِيهِ اِذْهَبِ إِلَى هِشَامٍ الدَّسْتَوَائِي. And he used to say to him, Shu'bah used to say to his son, go to Hisham al-Dastawai. Hisham al-Dastawai likewise is also from those great scholars of hadith. He died in the year 154. From the great narrators of hadith. And these are from the men that are in the chains of narration in the books of the sunnah. And if you open up Sahih Bukhari and Muslim and the likes of these books, Al-Kutub al-Sitta, you will find the likes of these names. You will find the likes of these men in those chains. And these are the greatest scholars of hadith. And narrators of hadith. So Shu'bah, he's telling his son, اذهب إلى هشام الدستوائي. Go to هشام الدستوائي. And he meaning go to his gatherings and sit in his gatherings and benefit from his knowledge and from his manners and conduct. فيقول أريد أن أرسل الحمام. And his son will say to him, I want to go play with the birds. I want to go play with the pigeons. I want to go let the pigeons fly around and the likes like this. So this is an example of that. She's saying, "Unzuri Mizan al-Itidal." Look in the book called Mizan al-Itidal. Mizan al-Itidal is a book by Al-Dhahabi, rahimahullah ta'ala, which is a book that is authored in order to collect the names of the narrators of hadith that are weak. Narrators of hadith that are weak. And from them is this man here, Sa'd ibn Shu'bah ibn Hajjaj, and the son of Shu'bah, his son, was from those who are considered weak. And this is what is mentioned about him. And he weak in narration. Weak in narration. And this is what has been mentioned about him in that particular work. And the wording that's mentioned there, that he said, فَسَمَّيْتُ إِبْنِي سَعْدًا فَمَا سَعِدَ وَلَا أَفْلَحَ فَمَا سَعِدَ وَلَا أَفْلَحَ I named my child Sa'd, and he tafa'ud, to be optimistic, that he's going to be happy, he's going to be successful. And he was not happy, nor was he successful. So this is an example of that. She says, وَهَذَا إِسْمَعِيلِ إِبْنُ إِبْرَهِيمِ وَهَذَا إِسْمَعِيلِ إِبْنُ إِبْرَهِيمِ إِبْنِ مِقْسَمِ الرَّجُلُ الصَّالِحِ مِنْ ضِمْنِ أَوْلَادِهِ إِبْرَهِيمِ وَهُوَ جَهْمِيٌّ جَلَدْ وَيَقُولُ بِخَلْقِ الْقُرْآنِ. And this individual here, his name is Ismail ibn Ibrahim ibn Miqsam. He was a righteous man, and from his children was a child named Ibrahim. And she says, وَهُوَ جَهْمِيٌ جَرِدٌ. And he was a strong Jahmi, yani a clear innovator, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, from those who claim that the Qur'an is created. From those who claim that the Qur'an is created. And this person here, likewise, that she's referring to, Ismail ibn Ibrahim ibn Miqsam, he's known as Ibn Ulayya. He's known as Ibn Ulayya, rahimahullahu ta'ala, and he died in the year 193, also from the greatest scholars and narrators of al-Hadith. And he has mentioned about him that he was from the best of the scholars of Hadith, and he was an imam in the Sunnah. And Ibn Ulayya, this person here that she's referring to. And she's saying from his children was a child named Ibrahim. And his name is Ibrahim ibn Ismail ibn Ulayya. And she says that he was a Jahmi. And if we look in Sir Alam al-Nubala by al-Dhahabi, we'll find that he mentioned that. That Ibn Ulayya, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he says, وَلَهُ أَوْلَادٌ مَشْهُورٌ. That this man here, he is a righteous man. Rather, he is from the great scholars of hadith. He had famous children. He had children who were famous and well-known. From them, مِنْهُمْ قَاضِي دِمَشْقِ أَبُو بَكْر مُحَمَّد ibn إِسْمَعِيلِ ibn Ulayya شَيْخٌ لِلنَّسَائِ. He had one son. His name was, he was a judge in Damascus, and he is known as Abu Bakr Muhammad ibn Ismail, and he was one of the scholars whom Al-Imam al-Nisa'i learned from and narrated from. And his father Ibn Ulayya died whenever he was a child. And then he mentions that this son here, kana thiqatan hafizan, that he was a thiqa, he was reliable and trustworthy, and he was from those who had precise memorization, from those who memorized the narrations. And then he says, wali ibn Ulayya ibn akhar. Ibn Ulayya, he has another son. Likewise, jahmiyun shaytan. He says, jahmiyun shaytan. Ibn Ulayya, he has another son also. Jahmiyun shaytan. He's a jahmi. He's a jahmi shaytan, a devil. And he's very misguided. Ismuhu Ibrahim ibn Ismail. This is who she's referring to here. This is who she's referring to here. And it's mentioned about him, وَكَانَ يَقُولُ بِخَلْقِ الْقُرْآنِ وَيُنَاظِرُ. That this individual here, he used to claim that the Qur'an was created and debate the people with regards to this. And so Al-Dhahabi is calling him جَهْمِيٌ شَيْطَانَ. A Jahmiya is someone who followed the way of the Jahmiya. and those who deny the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they claim that the Quran is created. And a number of the people of knowledge have declared the Jahmiya to be disbelievers, and in this person's severity misguided, as he's mentioning Jahmiyun Shaytan. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And then Dhahabi, he says, وَلَهُ إِبْنٌ آخَرٌ إِسْمُهُ حَمَّادِ ibn إِسْمَعِيلِ. And he has another son, Ibn Ulayya, Ismailiyya ibn Ibrahim. He has another son, his name is Hamad ibn Ismail. لَحِقَ أَبَاهُ وَهُوَ مِنْ شُيُوخِ مُسْلِمٍ. He had another son who had lived to benefit from his father and learn from his father. And likewise, this son, his name is Hamad, and he became from the scholars of Al-Imam Muslim, those whom Al-Imam Muslim narrates hadith from. So we see that he mentioned here three different children. Two of them were great scholars of hadith. One of them is a teacher of Al-Imam al-Nisa'i, and another one is a teacher of Al-Imam Muslim, and the other one, he is Jahmiyun Shaytan. So the guidance is in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal. And she's clarifying likewise that this man here, he was a righteous man. But the point is, as she mentions next, فَالْهِدَايَةُ بِيَدِ اللَّهِ, that the guidance is in the hands of Allah. وَلَكِنْ لَبُدَّ مِنْ فِعْلِ الْأَسْبَابِ. The guidance is in the hands of Allah, but one must take the means. But one must take the means. A person, if he neglects raising his child, he'll be held accountable for that, whether his child was guided or not. The fact that the child is guided or not is in the hands of Allah entirely, from the grace and mercy of Allah and from His wisdom and justice. If he's guided and upright and directed upon the straight path, that's from the grace and the mercy of Allah. مِن فَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَرَحْمَتِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. And if the child is not guided, and he is left in misguidance to himself, وَلِيَوْذُ بِاللَّهِ, then that's from the wisdom of Allah. مِن حِكْمَتِهِ وَعَدْلِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. From His supreme wisdom and ultimate justice, تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. So this issue here is in the hands of Allah. But as for that which is upon the parents, then she says, وَلَكِنْ لَابُدَّ مِنْ أخذي الأسباب. But the parents, they must take the means. وإذا أراد الله به خيرا فسيذعن للنصائح وإذا أراد به غير ذلك فسيصر على الباطل. The guidance is in the hands of Allah, but the parents, they must take the means. And if Allah wants good for the child, then the child will submit and follow the advice of the parents. And if Allah did not want good for that child, then that child will persist and continue upon ways a falsehood. So she says, وَالشَّعِرُ يَقُولُ, and the poet, he says, إِذَا كَانَ الطِّبَاعُ طِبَاعَ سَوْءٍ فَلَا أَدَبٌ يُفِيدُ وَلَا أَدِيبُ. If the temperament and the natural disposition, or the natural, the ingrained, innate character of a person is a character of evil, then discipline will not benefit, nor will a teacher. The disciplining will not benefit, nor will a teacher. فَإِنَّ بَعْضَ الْأَوْلَادِ يَكُونُ نِقْمَةً عَلَى أَبَوَيْهِ. She says now, because indeed some of the children, they will be a retribution upon their parents, a means of misguidance and retribution, a means of failure and loss. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَهَذَ يَقُولُ لَهُ تَعَالَى. And for this reason, Allah the Most High, He says, إِنَّ مِنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ وَأَوْلَادِكُمْ عَدُوًا لَكُمْ فَاحْذَرُوهُمْ. Indeed, from your wives and from your children, there are enemies, so therefore you must beware of them. She says, وَمِنْ فِي الْآيَةِ تَبْعِيضِيَّ. And men in this verse, from, it means تَبْعِيضِيَّ, meaning from some of your wives, not all of them, and some of your children, not all of them, from them, from amongst them, some of them are enemies to you, so therefore beware of them. ويقول, and Allah, He says, يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تلهكم أموالكم ولا أولادكم عن ذكر الله ومن يفعل ذلك فأولئك هم الخاسرون. O you who believe, do not let your children and your wealth deter you from the remembrance of Allah. And whoever does this, then indeed they are from the losers. They are from the losers. So now she's going on to mention another point in closing of this particular chapter, and that is that if the parents are not careful, then their child, instead of being a ni'mah for them, which is a blessing, the child will be a niqmah for them, which is retribution and a means of great loss and misery. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So we have what is considered a ni'mah, which is a blessing, and then opposite of that is a niqmah, which is a means of retribution and punishment and failure and loss. So the child can be one of the either one of these affairs. The child can be a blessing in the right of the parent, or likewise it could be a niqma, a means of retribution and punishment and failure in the right of the parent. We close with a statement of Al-Imam Malik, rahimahullah ta'ala, Malik ibn Anas al-Asbahi, Al-Imam Malik, Imam Dar al-Hijrah, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, he died in the year 179. He says that adabu adabullah, la adabul abai wal ummahat. That the manners are the manners of Allah. And the discipline is the discipline of Allah, not the discipline of the fathers and the mothers. Wal khayru khayrullah, la khayru al abai wal ummahat. Wal khayru khayrullah, la khayrul abai wal ummahat. And the good is the good of Allah, not the good of the fathers nor the mothers. So al adabu adabullah, the manners are the manners of Allah, the discipline is the discipline of Allah, meaning that if a person, he is disciplined and he is upright and has noble and good manners and he is steadfast, this is from the favor of Allah Azza wa Jal. And if one is not upon that guidance, then this is from the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what Imam Malik is saying, al adabu adabullah, la adabu al-aba'i wal-ummahat, that the manners and the discipline is from Allah. It's from Allah, not from the discipline of the fathers and the mothers. Not meaning that they should not take the means, but in reality, the discipline and the benefit of that is in the hands of Allah. وَالْخَيْرُ خَيْرُ اللَّهِ لَا خَيْرُ الْأَبَاءِ وَالْأُمَّهَاتِ. And the good is the good from Allah, not the good of the fathers nor the mothers. Shaykh Abdul Razak, حفظه ta'ala, he has a very brief comment on this particular narration by Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala. Shaykh Abdul Razak, he says, hafidhahullah ta'ala kalimatun azima, that this is a great statement. Fiha tasliyatun wa dhikra, in this statement here there is consolation and likewise an admonition and reminder. Tasliyatun likulli man badhala min as-salihin juhudan fi islahi waladihi falam yasluhu, that this is a means of comfort for every righteous person who put forth great effort to rectify their child, and the children were not upright. And the children were not upright. They put every effort that they could from the righteous parents. They put great efforts to rectify and to benefit their child, but their children were not upright. وَذِكْرَى لِمَنْ أَكْرَمَهُ اللَّهُ بِصَلَاحِ ذُرِّيَّتِهِ أَلَّا يَنْظُرَ إِلَى جُهُودِهِ فِي تَأْدِيبِهِمْ فَإِنَّمَا هُوَ مَحْضُ نِعْمَةِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ. And likewise an admonition and reminder for those whom Allah had honored them by having upright and noble children. That this is likewise a reminder and an admonition for those who have upright and noble children. They will not look to their own efforts and their own discipline that they had put forth, but rather they will realize that it's purely the blessing and the favor of Allah Azza wa Jal. So again, it's an obligation for the parents to make effort and to take all the means that they can to raise and cultivate their children upon the proper path and the correct way, upon the proper creed and the proper belief, the proper methodology, and the upright and noble good and lofty manners of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and upon the halal and the haram and the correct deen. They must make every effort that they can, and then in the end, they put their faith and trust and reliance upon Allah. They put their faith and trust and reliance upon Allah. And if their child is not guided, then they will know that this is from the wisdom and the decree of Allah, and that Allah, He is the most just, and that which He decrees is good and proper. And they will submit and surrender to that. And if their child is guided and benefits from those efforts, then they will not look at their efforts and be amazed by their own efforts. Rather, they will submit to Allah as well, likewise realizing that this is a great bounty and blessing and a favor from Allah, and a favor from Allah. Even if a person, he takes the means to have this good, then the fact that he himself took those means, or she herself took those means, this is the blessing and the favor of Allah. Then if those means are beneficial, likewise, this is the grace and the mercy and the blessing of Allah. So therefore, the blessing is the blessing of Allah, and the goodness is the goodness of Allah, and the discipline is the discipline of Allah, and the favor is the favor of Allah. We close with one last brief narration, and this is from Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad rahimahullahu ta'ala, from the scholars of hadith. Likewise, he died in the year 187. Al-Dhahabi, he mentioned about him, he says that kana lil-Fudayl ibn Iyad ibnun ismuhu Ali, that Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad rahimahullahu ta'ala, he had a son, his name was Ali rahimahullah. وَكَانَ يُعَانِي فِي تَأْدِيبِهِ, and Al-Fudayl, he used to go through great hardship and difficulty in disciplining Ali. and disciplining Adi. فَدَعَ رَبَّهُ So therefore he called on his Lord, supplicating to him, saying, اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي اجْتَهَدْتُ أَنْ أُعَدِّبَ عَلِيًّا فَلَمْ أَقْدِرْ عَلَى تَأْدِيبِهِ فَأَدِّبْهُ أَنْتَ لِي He said in his supplication, O Allah, indeed I have put forth much effort to discipline Ali, and I'm not able to discipline him, so therefore you discipline him for me. So therefore you discipline him for me. So al-Dhahabi, he says, فَأَسْلَحَ اللَّهُ حَالَهُ حَتَّى صَارَ مِنْ كِبَارِ الْأَوْلِيَاءِ And after this, Allah Azza wa Jal rectified the situation of Ali until he became from the greatest of the righteous and upright and noble believers whom are beloved to Allah. He says, بَلْ قَالِ إِبْنُ الْمُبَارَكِ Rather about this situation here, al-Dhahabi, he says, Ibn al-Mubarak, he died in 181. Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, from the greatest of the scholars of hadith likewise. He said, rather Ibn al-Mubarak, he said about him, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ al-Fudayl, that the best of the people, meaning in his day, the best of the people is al-Fudayl, وَخَيْرٌ مِنْهُ ibnuhu Ali. وَخَيْرٌ مِنْهُ ibnuhu Ali. And better than him is his son Ali. And better than him is his son Ali. So maybe a person, he will go through hardship and difficulty. Maybe he will go through struggles, time after time, disciplining the child, clarifying the truth to the child, saying the same words over and over to the child about particular affairs in the religion, about the importance of the deen and the importance of the sunnah, the importance of the creed, the importance of following the halal and the haram, the importance of staying away from the internet, the importance of staying away from the foul friends and the bad companions, the importance of knowledge, so on and so forth, time after time, going through much heartache and dealing with the problems from the child. And then in the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides the child's heart, and the child becomes better than the parent. Allahu Akbar, this is a favor from the favors of Allah. So the point is now, again, that the guidance is in the hands of Allah, and a parent would take those means and make that effort and put their trust and reliance in Allah and call on Allah with persistence over and over and over to guide the child. And so long as the child is alive, the parent will continue to beg Allah to guide the child along with taking those means. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.